This episode of Travel Today with Peter Greenberg is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Sign up today at www.audiblepodcast.com/travel today to get a free audiobook and 30-day trial.
It's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one travel news journalist. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, your travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
Hi, everybody. Peter Greenberg here, and welcome to the podcast that's done from a different location around the world every single week. One day Canada, the next day Thailand, then New York, London. You just never know. This week, we come to you from Avalon on Catalina Island, off the coast of California, from the Inn at Mount Ada. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter at petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Now, I called it the Inn at Mount Ada, but it's a lot more than that. It's the former Wrigley Mansion. Most people don't realize the impact of the Wrigley family on this island. This is where they hung. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. And for those of you, of course, who remember that famous song, 26 Miles Across the Sea, guess what? It's depends on where you're coming from. It's not 26 miles across the sea. It could be 22 miles across the sea if you're coming, let's say, from Newport Beach. It can be 42 miles across the sea if you're coming from Marina Del Rey, California. But let me tell you how I came across the sea today. The only way to fly, on a helicopter. 15 minutes, right from Long Beach on Island Express in their A-Star. And what a day it was today, let me tell you. You're only at 500 feet. You never get higher than 1,500 feet on that trip. And within 4 minutes of leaving Long Beach, we were whale spotting. I mean, what a day. And then landing right here in Avalon, and 4 minutes away, you're at the inn. So amazing. And so much history here. When you think about it, though, it's a very small island in terms of population, only about 3,500 people, and that population hasn't really changed since I've been coming here. I've been coming here since 1975. I mentioned my mom. My mom came over here in the late 30s and early 40s to sing in the famous Avalon Casino. Now, for those of you who think casino means gambling, no, it never was. But it's an amazing ballroom, an amazing auditorium, an amazing organ in there, by the way. And she sang with the Benny Goodman Band and the Perry Como Band. But all the other bands were playing here then, too. And even to this day, on the weekends, they use the casino as a movie theater. And what a great movie theater it is. For another reason, I mentioned that organ. The locals know they don't care what the movie is. They go to hear the organ player. And he plays usually for about 45 minutes before the first movie theater, before the movie showing. And then the movie's incidental. But I'm telling you, you got to go. The thing about Catalina that's great is the smart travelers come here during the week, not on the weekends. That's when everybody knows they can just have the island the way it's supposed to be. And by the way, you don't get to see all the island. No, not even close, because most of the island is run by the Conservancy. And it's off limits. There are tours, but highly restricted. You're not going to go any off. You're not doing any off-roading over here, but you're going to see some amazing scenery. And if you get all the way up to the airport, and I suggest you drive to the airport once you're here, unless you're a very bold pilot. That airport runway is wild. It's about 3,000 feet long, and at 3,001 feet, you're airborne whether you want to be or not, if you know what I mean. But the cool thing about that airport is they have a little luncheon place up there where they make cookies every morning, and they serve bison burgers. How'd that happen? Well, legend has it, and part of this legend is true, that way back when they were doing the original Westerns, they did a Zane Grey Western here, and they brought over bison. Not that many. Well, when they finished the movie, they left the bison multiplied, and they're out there, among many other interesting animals. And what a great place to go hiking. What a great place to go biking. You can do a little bit of little Jeep tours. But the cool thing is there are different parts of the island you can access also by boat. and great fishing here too. If you look at the history of this island, it's interesting to see who visited the island. You know, we're talking about Obama now going to Cuba, the first president since Calvin Coolidge. Well, guess what? I think Coolidge was here. And so was Richard Nixon. So was, how about this one, Winston Churchill. He caught a huge marlin. There's a great photograph of him. Nixon came over here. Well, he was living in San Clemente. I mean, at the Western White House, he was basically spitting distance. Nixon used Marine One and helicoptered over here with no notice at all back in 1971 with Tricia and his male friend, B.B. Rebozo. There's some gossip for you. And I'm not going to go beyond that. Just think B.B. Rebozo. That means to bozo again. That's all. But anyway, and landed, was here for a couple of hours, and it was just cool because he came almost unannounced. They had, like, no notice. That's the way true presidential visits should happen. Just show up. But anyway, so much great history here because, look, John Wayne was over here all the time with his boat. His boat was a wooden boat because it was a converted Navy minesweeper. And you had to be wood to be a minesweeper because if you were metal, you'd get blown up by the mines. And what was the name of his boat? The Wild Goose. And guess what? It's still around. You can still find it. It goes between Newport and San Diego. It's still there. They cut one of the decks off of it, but it's still there, still wood, still floating. A lot of great history there. Of course, all the movie stars came over on their boats. The most notorious, of course, was the Natalie Wood situation when she was over here with her then husband, and she drowned. They found her body washed up on shore. That investigation, by the way, about every 5 years gets reopened and then gets closed again because I don't think you're ever going to figure out what happened that night, but it was pretty wild. So you've got so much great history here, so much great romance. And when you walk in the casino, you get to relive all of that. They do tours all the time. It's a lot of fun. And 88%, think about this, 88%, I said before, of the entire island is protected by the Conservancy. And that includes, by the way, 62 miles of unspoiled beaches and secluded coves. I've taken my boat over here. It's just amazing. But remember, I'm a New Yorker. I can't believe how cold the water is here. So even in August, if you're going to jump in, you'll survive. But most of the time, you're wearing a wetsuit. But it's great swimming, great fishing. And what they do in the harbor here is even better. They make sure the water stays clean. Any visiting boater knows that story. They dump these dye tablets in your holding tanks, and you're not allowed to flush anything over the side of the boat. These are neon dye tablets. And if you do, your boat lights up like New Year's Eve, and you're banned from the harbor. So there you go.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Joining me now is the camping queen. How about, can I?
That's
can,
it.
Can I do it?
Yes, I have a tiara.
Oh, well, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Okay. Janet Flathers, you've camped the whole island, haven't you? And you've hiked it.
Absolutely.
Right, 37 miles of trails.
37.2 miles.
Oh, but who's counting?
I know.
Yeah, but I mean, that's going to take you a while.
We have people that do it in 2 or 3 days, and we have others that do it in 4 to 5 days.
And then you haven't found the rest of the bodies.
Not yet.
Okay, good. But it's doable. It's manageable.
Absolutely. We have people ranging from Boy Scouts all the way up to senior citizens doing it.
And you also have campgrounds.
We do. We have 5 separate campgrounds.
Now, for people who want to come over here for a day trip, you could do some of those trails for the day. You're not going to be you can't do it all.
You can do, we have a 10-mile loop that leaves from Avalon, and it goes around through the summit area and back down into Avalon.
So, based on your level of honesty with yourself about your own physical ability, what do you recommend?
10 miles is easy.
Oh, easy for you to say. Come on.
10 miles would be easy if you were here.
Okay. Will you see bison?
No, not in this trail.
Not in this trail?
No.
You have to go on another trail?
Yes.
And what's that trail called?
You can go up to the airport.
And I was talking about the airport. Yeah, it's
right.
Very, very cool.
You can see possibly buffalo on the way to the airport.
Now, is it buffalo or bison?
It's bison.
Okay, just double checking.
Buffalo is a water buffalo.
Yeah, and you don't have water buffalo.
We don't have water buffalo.
You have bison.
We have bison.
Now, if you're a kayaker, it's the whole island.
You can do the whole entire island in about 2 or 3 days.
So you bring your gear with you?
You do.
But there are designated spots where you can go ashore?
Yes.
And you've mapped that out, of course.
Yes.
What should people not bring here? I mean, they can't rent a car and drive the island. They can't four-wheel drive it. You know, there are no ATVs available to anybody to they're doing dune bashing in the desert. They don't do that.
Right.
Right? I mean, what's the biggest mistake people make when they come out here to camp, when they come out here to hike?
When they come out here to hike, I would say they don't bring enough water.
And hydration, okay.
They don't bring the right shoes and socks.
Okay.
I have a friend that came over and did it in flip-flops.
No, you don't do that in flip-flops.
And they had blisters on top of blisters on top of blisters.
Right.
So good socks and shoes is the way to go.
Mosquitoes?
No mosquitoes.
Nothing on the island?
No.
That's cool.
Because we don't have water.
Explain the water situation.
So we are in a drought, and we are all, if you live here, you're given an amount of water you can have per day, and that's for everything, including laundry, baths, everything that washing dishes. So we don't wash our cars, we don't have lawns, and we're frugal with our water.
Well, not only do you not wash your cars, there's a waiting list to get a car.
That's true. We don't have a car, so I can't wash my car here.
Right. There's a waiting list, right?
Yes, there is. It's about 20 years.
To get a car?
Yes.
You don't need a car, do you?
I live a whole mile out of town.
A whole mile?
I drive a scooter.
Okay.
So.
But when you talk about the water situation and the drought, I would presume there's some desalination going on.
There is a desal plant here that's working every day.
Has to.
Yeah, it has to.
Exactly, because you're not piping water 26 miles.
No.
Exactly. Have you ever run out of water?
Not yet.
That's a good answer.
That is.
That's a good answer. Is there a season to camp and a season not to camp? Is there a season to hike and not to hike here?
Most of our campers that are doing the Trans-Catalina Trail do it spring and fall. Summertime's just really hot. There's not a lot of shade on the trail, so it just becomes very hot. But people are doing it still every day. The island is full of people right now doing the trail.
Wow. And on the trail, what's the most surprising thing you're going to see?
I would say a buffalo for sure. That would be a surprise. Because
the bison, you mean?
I mean the bison, yes.
See, I have to correct you there.
And a rattlesnake.
Oh, why not bury the lead? A rattlesnake?
That would be a surprise.
But they're here.
Yes.
Especially in the summer months.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel, cruising and playing the radio, with no particular place to go.
My next guest, in the interest of full disclosure, goes back a long time with me because I've been coming to the Inn at Mount Ada and to Catalina Island for over 40 years. And since 2002, she's, we'll just call you the resident historian of this joint, because before this was the Inn on Mount Ada, it was
the Wrigley home
for the Wrigley family that bought this island back in 1919.
Correct.
But before that, who owned this island?
Actually, they bought it from the Banning brothers. Phineas Banning was the founder of L.A. Harbor, and his three sons bought the island back in the 1800s.
And of course, we're talking to Michelle Bastidick, who used to know me when I used to come up here when I was just a child, right?
You were just a baby.
She's such a good liar, too. But it's amazing how they've been able to preserve at least just even this home as well.
I love the fact that they've done this. The house for a while was not being taken care of the way it is once again. And it's in beautiful condition, and it's just such a gracious home.
And not to mention the views.
The views are spectacular. That's why Mr. Wrigley built here.
And yet, once that happened, he then attracted the Hollywood crowd. You had all the movie makers coming, the movie stars.
Right. There were a lot of filming was done on the island. Wrigley was very receptive to that, very open to their being here, and made friends with them. Charlie Chaplin in particular, but there were a number of people.
Well, the original Westerns, the Zane Grey Westerns were here.
Zane Grey was across the canyon from Mr. Wrigley, wrote some of his books here, and also Tom Mix, the cowboy, had a home here.
And, of course, James Cagney, Marilyn Monroe, John Wayne used to bring his boat over.
John Wayne was
Wild
fabulous.
Goose. Yeah. Laurel and Hardy.
Yes, they were here a lot. Good golfers and fishermen.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I saw a picture of Winston Churchill. He was here.
He was, and supposedly...
He caught a marlin.
He caught a marlin in 35 minutes, which is just unheard of. He was actually after a tuna, but he caught a marlin.
But he was drinking.
Yeah.
You know, if you ever want to have fun one night, go out and get a book about the wit and wisdom of Winston Churchill, about all the things he used to say when he was drunk, which are better than most people say when they're sober. Errol Flynn.
Yes, he liked it here a lot. Did a lot of his movies here because so many of them were pirate-type movies.
Henry Fonda.
He was actually here when World War II broke out.
He was stationed here.
He was stationed here later, but he was making a movie here. And then they had to wrap up and leave. And then he came back and filmed here.
Sure. And then, of course, most people just think about the notorious stuff like Natalie Wood.
Yeah.
What year was that? 81?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to guess 81 or 82.
Yeah.
It was Thanksgiving weekend.
And that case keeps getting reopened.
It does. It just never seems to go away.
Yeah.
And I know the people at Two Harbors that had any connection to it as far as even being there are still called from international press.
Right. But the accident happened at Two Harbors. It didn't happen here.
It wasn't here in Avalon, no.
Yeah.
It was the opposite end of the island.
What's changed about the island that you like, and what's changed about the island that you're a little concerned about?
Well, I really think that we've, the company and people in town, once we became a conservancy, started to value the town a little bit more and put a little more effort into their businesses and their hotels, and we upgraded very nicely that way. And then the island company has taken some huge steps recently to add new buildings and services and activities.
You know, later on the show, we'll be talking to the fire chief. In 1915, a huge fire broke out here.
Yeah.
In Avalon, half the buildings just burned right down.
And most of them were the hotels, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really ruined the economy for the Bannings. That's why they put the island on the market.
And that's when Wrigley bought it.
Exactly, with other investors.
So it literally was a fire sale.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was. We've been talking to Michelle Bastudik, who's the resident historian here and an old buddy of mine. Okay, now what's changed about the island that you're not so happy about?
Oh, you know, I love kind of the off-season and what we call our secret summer. We can get pretty busy. And when I was younger, of course, I absolutely loved it. It was great fun. Now that I'm not so young, I do like the quiet times, and I love the people that have the time to be here off-season and to enjoy what truly is Avalon.
Well, I have to tell you that my next book that I'm working on right now is actually called The Off-Season.
Oh.
It's the contrarian traveler's guide to where to go when everybody tells you not to.
Yeah.
Because the off-season, when you think about it, is really a myth. I mean, it was started back in New York by escaped Garmentos back in whenever, when they were freezing their you-know-whats off in February and said, let's go to the Caribbean. When, in fact, going to the Caribbean in June and July and August is just as nice. The thermometer might be maybe 5 or 6 degrees warmer, but the crowds aren't there. The service is better, the deals are better, and you have a better time.
Yeah, you do. You really get to know the town and its people.
I mean,
much
if I have
better.
A choice of coming to Catalina, I will tell you right now, which will come as no surprise to you, I want to come Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
No crowds.
Exactly.
Right? That's the best way to go. And you come at this time of the year, February, March, April, May, and then, of course, the magic month of September.
That's what I call our secret summer. Yeah. The water's beautiful. The beaches are empty. You know, it's still summertime, but a lot of families don't come at that time because the kids are back in school. That makes a lot of difference.
How long have they been playing the organ at the casino?
Well, since the casino opened in 1929, so back to 1929.
Continuously?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're getting ready to do some things to it. But it's hard. I mean, that may be the only one that's in its original spot. It's a Page Theater organ.
It's a big one.
Yeah. It is. And it's still beautiful. It gets played every weekend. And then during the summer, every night.
I know. That's the only time you want to come here is when they're doing the movies and they're playing the organ.
That's right.
Right. That's the cool. And would you agree that the locals actually go to listen to the organ? They don't even care what the movie is?
They do. They love that. In different ceremonies, it'll get played. Like the kids have their graduation in the Casino Theater. So it's played for that as too.
Hello? This is your captain speaking. There is absolutely no cause for alarm.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure.
Audible.com has more than 150,000 titles and virtually every genre. So check it out for yourself. Sign up today at www.audiblepodcast.com/travel today to get a free audiobook and 30-day trial. You know, you always like to ask the locals. I got a tag team here. The first part of the tag team is Sean McAlpin, who's not just the regular bartender. No. He's the senior bartender at the Avalon.
At the Avalon Grill, correct.
At the Avalon Grill. And coming up after this will be the fire chief. It's a nice little surprise. But you came from Chicago.
I did. I did.
And you were freezing there.
I was freezing there for sure. In fact, the weather is one of the reasons that kept me here. I'm 46 now, but I moved here 6 years ago.
Midlife crisis?
Yeah.
Come on.
Kind of, sort of. I was heading in that direction. But coming here and reading the stories about how Catalina Island put 10 years on the Catalina Cub baseball players, I'm a big Cubs fan. So over the years, I'd read about Catalina and the Cubs and how they had their farm system here.
You're such a Cubs fan, you gave up on Chicago.
This is kind of a Chicago island. There's several
people. Oh, I know. The whole story here about this particular, where we are right now, the Wrigley Mansion, Mr. Wrigley used to sit right out here on the deck, and he could see the ball field from here when they did their spring training. And the rumor has it that if he didn't like what they were, and he had a phone installed in the dugout there, and a phone here, it was like an intercom phone. And if he didn't like how they were playing, he'd pick up the phone and say, "Hey, have the boys come up and see me." That meant they had to run all the way up the hill, right?
That's correct. He used to have a telescope right out here. He'd be able to watch the team.
So basically, if the Cubs ever go to the World Series, come on.
4-1 this year. Just came out yesterday, I believe.
Oh, you have money on this now?
Las Vegas put him at the best chances to win the World Series.
Well, every year they have the better chances because how many years have it been now? 100 and what?
It's been 106.
Well, they went to
1908.
1908, so it's 108.
108.
Oh, my God.
108 years. This is their year.
But you know what? When you think about it, and look, I love the Cubs, but if you're going to name a baseball team, right? The Tigers, the Rams, the Lions, the Cubs?
The Cubs.
Come on.
Interesting. I can tell you that when George Halas named the Chicago Bears, he looked at the Cubs' name and said, "I want them to be stronger than the Cubs." So he chose the Bears.
No, it wasn't. All right. But
the
days of spring training for the Chicago Cubs here in Avalon, long since gone.
1950, last year.
Yeah. So you came over here for what?
I came over here to open the Avalon Grill. Coincidentally, in Chicago, I worked for Coach Mike Ditka for the last 15 years. And I got to meet an assortment of people, the Wrigley family being one of them.
And that's when you started learning about Avalon.
And that's when I started learning about Avalon. I grew up in Northern California. I grew up in San Jose, California. And educated in Boston, found my way to Chicago, became a Cubs fan, and now I'm living the ultimate dream. I lived across the street from Wrigley Field in Chicago. Now I'm living across the street from Wrigley Field.
Were you in one of those apartments?
I was. You know, I was on Kenmore, two blocks down from one of those apartments.
That's such a great story. It's such a great American story because all those years, people were just like hanging out in their apartments, and now they actually rent the seats out. They rent the seats out. It's still a fire code violation, but it's still great.
They make a lot of money now doing that.
They do. Yeah. All right, so here you are as the senior bartender at the Avalon Grill. Is there a special drink?
You know, depending on the time of the season, we always have different drinks coming in and out. Mojitos in the summer, Manhattans in the winter. But throughout the year, we have one special cocktail. It's the Wrigley Martini.
With three or four of them, you actually think the Cubs are going to the World Series.
Exactly. The three martini lunch came from this out of Chicago. But Mr. Wrigley used to drink a gin martini with three olives.
So even he thought they were going to the World Series.
Even he thought they were going to the World Series.
Unbelievable.
And they did in 1945.
And
they didn't fare so well.
So they haven't won since 1908.
No, not since 1908.
Wow. All right, so that's, but you do something else here. You do like a maple bacon Manhattan.
There's another one that we started serving in the fall that's really got a great following. We've been starting to infuse a lot of liquors, such as bourbon here. We've been...
Well, bourbon's had a comeback.
It has been
huge,
a big comeback,
yeah.
Especially in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So what we've done a little differently is we've taken the bourbon and we've infused it with bacon. I put a little maple syrup on the rocks with a dash of a little orange bitters, and I'm telling you, it's the die for. It's excellent. You come down tonight, I'll make you a couple for
sure.
So
basically, the three martinis make you think they're going to go to the World Series, but the maple bacon Manhattan actually makes you think they won the World
Series. Exactly.
I just want to make sure we got that together.
It depends how many you have, but for sure.
If you are continuing on to another Southwest destination, please make sure that you check the monitors inside the terminal for your proper gate and flight information. If you are continuing on with another airline, we really don't care.
I am a passenger. And I ride. I ride through the city back sides. I see the stars come out of the sky.
As you know, if you listen to this show on a regular basis, I always like to ask the locals, and one type of local in particular, because wherever I go, I always like to check in at one location, because the men and women at that location are actually the most apt to know everything about that location. Why? Because they've been in everybody's house, they've been in everybody's hotel, they've been in everybody's restaurant, they know where to go, they know where not to go. And the cool thing is, if you haven't answered that question by now, then you haven't been listening to the show. They're firefighters. And joining me now, the chief of the Avalon Fire Department, Mike Krug. How are you, Mike?
Thank you very much.
And your radio just went off.
Of course it did.
Got an emergency today?
We do, but the guys will be well, they'll handle it for sure.
They'll be well staffed.
They'll be well staffed.
All right, so you're comfortable enough talking to me even though the alarm just went off.
That's true. Murphy never sleeps.
Murphy never sleeps. You've been here how many years?
I've been on the island for 20 years.
Wow. And before that, you were a fireman on the mainland?
No, I came here and I got hired with LA County Fire, which also provides services for the interior of the island. So I worked for them for about 5 years as a reserve for their department. And then I got hired full time with the City of Avalon Fire Department.
So the bottom line is you've seen the entire island.
I have.
I'm good, sure bad, and ugly.
That's true. That's true.
And you know, but people don't realize about an island like this, and I'm also a fireman in New York on an island where you have wood frame houses, you have wind, you have sometimes questionable water pressure. Fire is a huge, huge concern.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're limited on resources on our best day. As you mentioned, water supply is always an issue. The weather can certainly dictate how the fire is going to behave. And I'm sure, as you've already seen and what you experience where you're at, is that the houses in a beach community are typically very close to each other, and it causes exposure problems.
But the good news for you is you know everybody here.
Well, most everybody. We get a lot of visitors, over a million.
But the regulars here, total population is what? Come on.
3,500.
And that hasn't really changed.
No.
Right? I mean, it stayed pretty stable.
Pretty stable, yeah.
So you know the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, and you're the fire guy.
Uh-huh. That's true.
I always have to ask you this because food and firefighting go together, right? Where do you like to eat?
What do I like to eat?
Where?
Yeah. Steve's Steakhouse is one of my favorites. I enjoy Steve's Steakhouse.
Is that the place that's owned by the Harbor Master's brother?
It is.
See,
it
I know
is.
These things. Look, I know these things.
You've only been here a little while.
No, I've been coming for years. I know where the bodies are buried. Right? But that's a relatively new place.
I couldn't tell you. It's been here as long as I can remember. But
then in Avalon, that's a new place.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And so what do you order there? What? Steak?
I definitely go with the steaks.
And what about, I have to ask it. There's junk food on this island.
Of course.
And what's your favorite junk food place?
Coney Island.
Why?
I like the charbroiled chicken with fries is my favorite at Coney Island.
Now,
I thought you were going to give me a hard question about who cooks at the firehouse or something like that.
Okay. Who cooks at the firehouse?
Well, they don't let me cook anymore. Since I promoted the fire chief position, a lot of times they take the pans and stuff out of my hands, which they claim is a privilege of rank. I think it's more because I'm famous for recipes like Spam casserole, breakfast for dinner. So
you know what? Yeah, stay away.
Yeah, yeah. That everyone can't be good at everything.
But what's the favorite recipe at the Firehouse? I mean, if I were to show up tonight for dinner, what's on the menu?
Well, the crowd pleaser for me, the one that I get requests for is
when they let me cook
is tuna muffins. Tuna muffins for lunch. And but that's as, that's about as good as I go. But we have
tuna
some really
muffins.
Good,
we want to explain what a tuna muffin is.
A tuna muffin is half of a English muffin, little butter, tuna, and then you put a slice of tomato, slice of purple onion, and melt cheese over that. And I have to give all the credit to my mother. My mother, that's my mom's recipe.
Right. And then you call the paramedics. Oh, but wait a minute. You are the paramedics.
That's right. Yeah.
So you're right there. You got it covered.
We're right there. We got it all
covered. One-stop shopping.
Exactly.
Heavy-duty calories, heavy-duty cholesterol, and then check in.
Absolutely.
Now, when you have an emergency here, like we do on our end, sometimes you got to do medevacs.
Absolutely. We do them very frequently
and
here.
We land helicopters on our island all the time, and that's our most frightening situation mm-hmm. because our landing zone is actually smaller than yours.
Wow.
And you know, most medevacs don't happen at 2 in the afternoon. They happen at 2 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And you're dealing with power lines, and you're dealing with wind and weather. And what most people don't realize when you're doing those kind of deals is you can't evacuate the patient until you stabilize them.
True.
You can't
Absolutely.
Put them in the helicopter if you're losing them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But the thing is, it's only a 15-minute ride.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you get back and forth, and they get here pretty fast.
They do. They do. Golden hour. I'm sure you've heard that term.
Tell me.
Golden hour is from the time of the emergency or the beginning to the time that the patient is in the hospital. If we can keep that time frame to less than an hour, is usually when we have positive outcomes.
They got a fighting chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mike Krug. Fire chief, keep him out of the kitchen, but don't keep him out of the dining room.
We have clearance, Clarence. Roger, roger. What's our vector, Victor?
Now I radio clearance, over.
That's Clarence, over.
Over. Roger.
Huh?
My next guest, talk about a local. Oh, my God. A fifth-generation local who is just her whole... I mean, you want to talk about Catalina, you just have to trace her family. They go back before the last century, before the century before that. And her name is, it's true, Natalie Foote. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You're the baby now.
I am.
How old are you now?
I'm actually 25.
Oh, excuse me. Fine. That's a baby, trust me. But I mean, you were born here, raised here. Every one of your family members, right?
Yes. I was technically born in Long Beach, but, you know, just because they can't deliver babies on the island anymore,
but not
the same day.
Not intentionally, at least.
Right, exactly. Right. My mother was born in Avalon, my grandmother and grandmother, though.
And probably your grandmother's, they had a midwife.
Yeah.
In those days, yeah.
Yeah, it was very, very old school.
Well, we know a little bit about why people stay here. What keeps you here?
I just love the lifestyle that I'm able to live on the island. I love being outdoors. I love the ocean. I love going out for all-day hikes. I love the small-town community feel. I have a lot of family here. I grew up here. It's very, very tight-knit community. And
you know everybody.
It's a great feeling. You do. You know everybody pretty much. And
you know the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, the guy who runs the post office,
exactly.
The grocer, right?
Exactly.
The other baker,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, it's like a village. It's like a, yeah, I love it. It's a big family.
And there's a great sense of security there.
There is, yeah.
Now, you know, you say you love the open air and that. There's no gym on the island, is there?
There is no gym
now,
on the island.
Now, think about that. In the year 2016, you have hotels, you have B&Bs, right? No gym.
I know. Great business opportunity there.
or there's a message there.
There is a message there. That is kind of my thing, is I believe that nature is the best gym. You don't really need machines or any kind of confined space. I think that if you just get outside and, you know, get back to nature, you can have a fun time, an adventure, and you can get a great workout without even realizing that you're working out.
And how many miles do you walk every day?
On average, at least 6. And that's just, you know, walking the dog. If I'm going out for a hike, I'll, you know, some days I go out and I'm gone for 6 hours, you know, putting in 15, 20 miles just on my feet, just to see the sunset or to go to my favorite, you know, set of pine trees on the West End or something fun.
Where is your set of favorite pine trees?
That would be out above Parsons Landing, which is the second beach from the very west point of the island. And it's beautiful out there. It's very secluded. You hardly see a single soul out there. And
that's the beauty of it.
It's very rugged, very rural, and it's just gorgeous.
You know, you talk about getting out into the open air. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people who believe, people always say to me, where's your favorite place in the world? And the metric that I use is my favorite place in the world is where I sleep the best.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And so I have about 10 of those places. And you know what? One of them is here.
Yeah.
The Inn on Mount Ada, when I go to bed tonight, mm-hmm. I'm opening up all the windows.
Yes.
Because you just want that ocean air to come in and you're done.
Yeah, there's nothing right? like it. Mm-hmm.
And people don't understand that. So my favorite, without exception, my favorite places happen to be on the water, duh. Yes. But they're also places where I sleep the best, right?
Right, I agree.
And it's not about exercise. It's about just the total experience.
Exactly, yeah. Growing up, like me and my brother and my sister, we lived on a horse ranch in the middle of the island for 11 years, and there weren't many other kids out there. So when we weren't, you know, riding horses or doing things around the yard to help out mom and dad, we were out on the trail and out exploring. It was exploring. It was just, you know, we'd go out all day and, you know, we'd find animals and we'd go to the beach and we'd just get lost, really.
Do you still find new stuff?
All the time.
Like what?
Just I'll see a fox in the distance and I'll be like, where's that trail go? And, you know, I find this whole new canyon or a waterfall that I didn't even know existed. And just when I think I've covered every inch, I find something new. Or like this last summer with the El Nino, a lot of the sea kelp died off and it kind of revealed a whole new ocean floor. And so I found all these new sea caves that I could go, you know, swim through and go exploring when I'd go out on my paddleboard or go for long swims. And
what's your longest paddleboard ride?
22 miles across the sea.
You did it?
I've done it 7 times.
Okay, let me just say that you are out of your mind.
I know. I get that a lot.
By yourself?
It's a race. It's
Is this stand-up paddleboarding?
This is actually prone paddleboarding. It's
That's how I learned, by the way.
Oh, great.
On the old mahogany paddleboards that weighed 140 pounds each.
Right. They don't quite weigh that much anymore. Yeah. They're about 17 pounds now, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
But, they're fast, and we go across the channel.
So you're lying on your stomach just paddling.
Just paddling. Lying on your stomach, or you can hop up to your knees and use both arms at the same time, and that actually propels you a little bit quicker.
Yeah, but it's tougher.
It's tougher. So it's nice to be able to switch back and forth, kind of use different muscle groups.
All right. Engage yourself there. You're begging the question now. You've done it how many times?
7.
Okay. How long did it take you?
It takes me, on average, about 5 hours. It kind of depends.
That's fast.
some of the guys that are like twice my size can do it in like, you know, 4. But it just depends on the weather conditions. You know, some days we get lucky and it's nice and it's a flat crossing. Other days you feel like you're in a washing machine taking one step forward and 2 steps back. And
okay, what's the longest that's taken you?
Like 5.5, close
to
6.
Oh, stop. That's still fast.
It feels like forever when you're out there, let me tell you.
That part I can relate to.
Yeah.
Wow. Were you ever scared?
You know, I've never been scared. I don't know if it's...
Any dolphins come play with you on that?
All the time.
All the time.
There was one summer, 2 summers ago, where I'd paddle out to Ship Rock, which is a rock about a mile off.
I know Ship Rock.
Off,
yep,
right?
I know it. And there's Bird Rock and Ship Rock. I know.
That's right, yeah. And I'd go out there every single morning around the same time, and I'd sit up on my board, and for like a month straight, every single day, this pod of dolphins would come, and I would paddle with them down the coast towards Empire Landing, and... It was just like the most surreal, incredible.
They were sort of like
feeling.
Waiting for you.
Yeah.
Where are the wagons?
The wagon is too slow. Can't you ride?
It's not that he can't ride. How is it you put it home?
They're dangerous at both ends and crafty in the middle. Why would I want anything with a mind of its own bobbing about between my legs?
Joining me now, someone who's been here for about 8 years, probably surprised when he came for the first time because he came out of retirement to do it. He's the CEO of the Santa Catalina Island Company. His name, Randy Harrell. How are you, sir?
Thank you, Peter. Good to be here.
Not a bad gig you've got.
I'm not complaining at all.
I mean, imagine running an organization where the population of the city doesn't really change. I mean, the base population. You probably know everybody. Everybody's, you know, it's impossible not to know your neighbors here. And yet you've got great weather, you've got great flora and fauna, you've got great history. And then your biggest challenge, of course, is to conserve it.
Right. Make it sustainable, protect it for the future, but also bring as many people over to enjoy this wonderful experience as possible.
In a responsible way.
Correct.
So what are your challenges to do that? Because you have a water issue here. You have potential pollution issue here. You have natural resources issues here. I mean, you mentioned the word, everybody talks about the word sustainable, right? But then you got to define it. So what are those challenges for you?
Challenges for us in the short term is water. We are drilling 3 test wells. 2 of those 3 test wells have proven to find some good, valuable water for us and the community. I think secondly is just the infrastructure. The infrastructure, you know, just like the inn here, it's older. Everything here is probably 80 years old, and that's new.
Which is part of the charm.
It's the charm. So you have to preserve it and protect it. We recently put in a spa, and it was an 80-year-old building.
Now, is that the
building.
Spa that's run by Mr. Wrigley's granddaughter?
Yes.
Ah.
It's which is the Santa Catalina Island Company.
Right.
So we recently did it. The building was in such disrepair, it had 70% of the foundation was gone.
That would qualify as disrepair.
Yes. Yeah. We jacked the building up, poured a new foundation, and lowered the original building back down on the foundation. That was just a start to build a great world-class spa.
And you mentioned the water issue here. You have desalination here.
Yes.
You also have a reservoir. So that was started many, many years ago.
80 years ago or more.
Yeah.
And so the wells are to augment, kind of create a canvas, a matrix of different water sources for different times of the year. And that's what we're trying to do is build a great water system that will service the residents, but also the visitors for many, many years to come.
We're talking to Randy Harrell, the CEO of the Santa Catalina Island Company. You know, let's go back. You mentioned 80 years. Let's go back 80 years. Let's take a page from the Wrigley playbook, because when he bought this island in 1919, what was his vision and how has that changed?
You know, it's a great point. We have taken a page out of William Wrigley Jr.'s playbook from the 20s, and he wanted to create a great destination that was good and a great experience for the butcher, the housekeeper, the Hollywood starlet. Everyone could come over and have an incredible time.
Or the Hollywood butcher.
Or the Hollywood butcher, yes. And so we have created experiences or starting to create experiences just like Mr. Wrigley did back in the 20s and the 30s.
You know, we were talking earlier with the senior bartender from the Avalon Grill, Sean McAlpin. He was talking about, you know, he used to work in Chicago for Mike Ditka, and he was a big Cubs fan. And all he kept on hearing when he was back there was, you know, about the Cubs in the old days of spring training here and this mansion and Mr. Wrigley looking down at his team, right? Now, let's be honest, the Cubs haven't gone to the World Series in a long time, right?
Right.
And they haven't been here since 1950, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there a way to try to bring back a baseball team here, even a Triple-A team?
We thought about kind of renovating the Field of Dreams, as we call it,
yeah,
where they practiced in the spring. But what has happened is the city has built a Baywatch and fire station that kind of encroaches on the outfield. So when we really started to study, could we do that? Because the Angels have a relationship with the Wrigleys,
right,
in the early beginning. So it would be great to have a Cubs-Angels spring practice game.
Wouldn't that be great?
But probably not going to happen because the field has been built on, so it's not going to be able to have a professional baseball team. It'd be too small.
Too small. How about Little League?
Possible.
I mean, come on. You can't let the field just sit there.
We're not. We're going to look for different ways to use it.
In the 8 years you've been here, what's been the biggest surprise for you?
I think that it's so many people from Southern California do not know about the experience on Catalina Island.
The people who live right next door.
22 miles away, 26 miles away. And all the great things we've been doing in the last 8 years, last 5 years, Still, a lot of folks aren't aware of all the neat things that they can do coming to Catalina.
Such as?
They can go ziplining, which is sold out almost year-round. They can go to the Descanso Beach Club and rent a cabana and have personalized service all day long. And literally, it's a private beach, one of the few private beaches in Southern California. So you can stand in the sand and have a drink in your hand and relax.
And, of course, people don't understand the history of the casino.
Correct.
They really don't know. I have to tell you this. I talked about it a little bit earlier in the show, but I'll repeat it again. I mean, I understand it because my mom was a Los Angeles native. I was born and raised in New York. But when I was growing up, she would tell me stories about how she came over in the late 30s and 40s to sing. She was a singer. And she sang in the casino with Benny Goodman and with Perry Como and all those bands. And there's a picture that my mom has that I still have now of her in the harbor here in Avalon on wooden paddle boards, right? Mm-hmm. And in that picture is my mom, Perry Como, and Frank Sinatra. Because they all came over.
It was a place, it was the place to come. And William Wrigley Jr. created a casino that is still world class.
But it's not about gambling. They've never gambled there.
It really means a meeting place.
Right.
A place to socialize. And we are looking at that casino now on how to re-energize her and breathe life into her so she is like what William Wrigley Jr. created back in 1929, opened in May 29, 1929. And so we are looking at a project in the movie theater that, well, let me go back. When William Wrigley Jr. opened the Casino Theater, it was the most technologically advanced theater in the United States, if not the world. Today, we are working with some technical companies on making that theater world-class again.
And let's not forget the organ. Get over here on a Friday or Saturday night. It doesn't even matter what movie's playing. The locals know better. They go to hear the organ play before the movie. The movie could be the worst movie in the world. It does not matter. You go to the casino to listen to the organ.
Come in early, get some popcorn, have a drink, and listen to something that most people will never be able to listen to.
Especially in a movie theater these days. You just wouldn't have.
Right.
Exactly.
Chicago, Fargo, Minnesota, Buffalo, Toronto, Winslow, Sarasota, Wichita, Tulsa, Ottawa, Oklahoma, Tampa, Panama, Mattawa, La Paloma, Bangor, Baltimore, Salvador, Amarillo, Tokyo.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right. I've been everywhere, man. Across the desert, bare, man. I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere. I've been to Boston, Charleston, Dayton, Louisiana, Washington, Houston, Kingston, Texas, County, Monterey, Faraday, Santa Fe, Tallapoosa, Glen Rock, Black Rock, Little Rock, Oskaloosa, Tennessee, Chicopee, Spirit Lake, Grand Lake.
In the interest of full disclosure, I've said this before on the air, I've come to Catalina for about 40 years. All right, I'm a geezer. But when I first came here, the definition of sautéed was deep fried. And then there was more deep fried. And the food really wasn't very good. Things have changed a little bit, and joining us now, the executive chef for the Santa Catalina Resorts and all the things that they do here is Matthew Allishouse. You agree with what I said?
Yeah, that was a great point. We are definitely making a movement from the deep fried.
You know, when you go, thank you. But you know, when you go from resort destinations, and you came here from Hawaii, where you're dealing with mass tourism, you're dealing with, you know, how much mahi-mahi can you serve? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah.
When you were in Hawaii, how much mahi-mahi was there on the menu? It was out of control, right?
Yeah.
Out of control, right? Here you're now dealing in a smaller island. Hawaii, you could source a lot of stuff. In Catalina, everything has to come in by boat.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So what were your challenges?
You know, the barge is, kind of a challenge. And when I say the barge, it's the weather.
Yeah.
You know, the weather obviously affects the barge. And when we don't get product, that makes for a long weekend.
Right. But you get to plan a little bit differently here. Have to.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can plan as much as you can. But we, you know, are really making that sustainable movement where we are using the freshest quality products available in the seasons. So, yes, you can plan. But when you say that phrase fresh, that means it better be fresh.
But, you know, in the old days here, way before I ever came here, you know, if you ordered fish for dinner, it came off the boats.
Yeah.
Right? Do you still buy fish from the locals?
Yeah, you know, we do. And then we actually, in the summertime, start a cook the catch, so to speak. So we go out and we fish our own yellowtail and take the guests out. We'll bring them back.
See,
in.
That's cool. That's totally cool.
We keep it fun, you know.
Well, it's more than fun. It's participatory. And people, you know, I've always said, if you can't understand the process, how can you value the product?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're doing that, people get a much better, genuine, authentic experience.
Great day on the water, ended by a great view in the Avalon Grill at the end of the night. There's nothing better.
Okay, now don't lie to me. Do you always come back with fish?
Yes.
Stop it.
Always. Okay. We know the secrets.
What? Yeah, it's called a freezer.
No, never.
You always come back with fish?
Yeah, I mean, we don't go out every single day, but you know, we've gotten pretty chummy with the locals here. I don't waste time when I settle in somewhere, and I want to, you know, it's partly just because I want to be a local, you know, but they've showed us some secrets, and we do quite well.
Okay, can you share one of them?
Absolutely not.
Oh, come on.
Actually, the funniest thing is right out your left side window here, you catch quite a bit of yellowtail during the season, and you're talking 500-600 yards offshore. Well,
that's where the submarine goes.
Right around the corner.
That's where that little submarine
goes. Yeah, just past the submarine.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. One of them. Well, the close one.
What's the one? I always ask this of all the chefs, so I'm going to ask it of you. What's the one thing you put on your menu that you said, man, everybody's going to love this, and it tanked? And then what's the one thing you said, okay, I'll put it on the menu, but who's going to order this and everybody wants it?
Right, so the first one, I think, would be our roasted beet hummus. We did this appetizer in the Avalon Grill.
You know, when I think of Catalina, I think of roasted beet hummus.
It was more a California vision.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right? And we thought it was great, and the two or three people a night that get it really seem to enjoy it, but everybody else is kind of shrugging their shoulders going, what do we do with this?
Yeah, right.
And then,
is that still on the menu?
No. Okay. No, it had a short three-week lifespan, I think.
Okay.
And then the other one, we didn't say that it was, you know, we kind of thought it was going to be a positive thing, and it was beyond positive, but we have two different versions of a buffalo burger, one in Avalon Grill and one at Descanso Beach Club, and they are just
Well, if anybody knows the history of the island and the Zane Grey movies, the fact that they left the bison here and they multiplied, they just want to be able to experience that, even though the reality is the meat is not coming from those animals.
Correct, but it makes a heck of a story after they buy it.
Another animal goes missing on Catalina. Hey, Buffalo Burger. No.
Well, that's why we named it Buffalo Burger instead of Bison Burger, so right. There's absolutely no confusion.
No problem at all. All right, so those are flying out.
Those are flying out.
Is there something that you can do now because of sourcing that you couldn't do before?
You know, I think you really hit the nail on the head before. I think we've really kind of just turned the market on the products in general that we use. You know, we're sourcing a ton of farms from the California coast. We're working on projects that, even though obviously we don't have an abundance of water here, but we're working on ways to start growing our own. So,
here?
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, there's a kind of a hydroponic tower that's going on now that we're looking to source, where you can grow fresh herbs and smaller vegetables out of. So that's kind of one of the ways. And then, you know, sourcing and flying stuff over helps versus always just having to put things on the bar. Sure.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Catch us each week as we broadcast from a new location somewhere around the world. We'll be right back.